Blog Talk Radio.
Recorded it just recently, so I hope you enjoyed that. And I'm not sure if you heard the beginning of the show, because I think I forgot to turn on the microphone, so I'm going to start again. I was going to have a play an interview, pre-recorded interview, with an international pedophile hunter called Luke McKee. However, I received a call from one of the people that he claims is a pedophile, claiming that he wasn't, and so I asked Luke to provide for his claims, and despite many, many links to things, I just wasn't convinced. So I decided to err on the side of caution and not play the interview. If in the future it becomes clear what the truth is, I may play the interview. Now, I'm not going to put myself at any legal action. Now, talking of pedophilia and other things, about 2 weeks ago, I decided to hit back at a group of people calling themselves patriots who have been attacking me endlessly for almost 3 years on Facebook. They've set up between them six Facebook pages to attack me, making the most outrageous accusations that I've stolen money, that I'm a liar, that I'm a thief, that I'm a pedophile. And yet, when challenged, none of them could provide any proof, no evidence at all. And that doesn't surprise me, of course, because I am none of the things that they have claimed. Now, I do know two of the people who made these claims, and both of those have, let's just say that they have disappointed me in the past. I thought they were my friends, and they turned me for no good reason, except their own perverted viewpoint. So I let them go on for a little while on Facebook and making all these claims because, as they say, you know, give a thief enough rope and eventually he will hang himself. Well, these people are trying to steal my good name. So this morning I went down to the courthouse and I have now started issuing subpoenas to these people to turn up in court and explain themselves. They are going to be very surprised when the police come knocking on the door to issue these subpoenas. I'd like to thank my friend Adam Kelly because he, as a private investigator, he has been very, very helpful getting information for me that I needed to issue the subpoenas. And I must also thank others. I won't name them because, I'm sure they don't want them. They have been a huge help. And it's nice to know that I have friends who understand and appreciate the work that I am doing, and more than that, who believe in me and my honesty and my integrity. I'm not going to sit here and try and justify myself or say what a great fellow I am, because you all know that anyway, of course, right? But the fact is, we put yourself out in the public. I have. Expect some people to come out of the woodwork and try and attack you. Well, these attackers, but it doesn't pay. If you want to come after me, then you do it. Don't be a coward and sit behind a keyboard and attack me with lies and nudity. You can face me. I'm not a little boy. I'm quite capable of defending myself, even if I have to defend myself physically. I'm not a small fellow either. And I do work out, and my trainer says I pack quite a punch, so beware. If you want to come and face me, you better not come to start any argy-bargy, because we'll finish it. Just as I'm going to finish the but you don't scare me. Now, I'd like to play I'd like to read a section from every week we do this, or every show I read out something from the Quran, and then I try to explain what's going on. So. Today I'm going to read from the Quran, Surah 9, which is paragraph 9, verse 30. And it says, and the Jews say, Ezra is the son of Allah. And the Christians say, the Messiah is the son of Allah. These are the words of their mouth. They imitate the saying of those who disbelieved before. May Allah destroy them. Now they are turned away. I ask any Christian to put one verse in the Quran, in the Bible, or the Torah, where the Messiah or the Ezra is called the son of Eli. It's absolute rubbish. And of course, we expect this from the Muslims. They tell lies. They lie to themselves and they lie to those who are not Muslims. This is because in the Quran, they are ordered to lie if it will help promote the cause of Islam and convert people to Islam. And of course, you'll notice in this surah in the Quran that they also use violence. May Allah destroy them, how they are turned away. Islam is a violent and nasty ideology. It is not a religion, as we all know, a religion, and we do well to fight against Islamization of our nation. This has got to stop. Islam does not belong in Australia, and if we get somebody elected to Parliament for representing Restore Australia, we will submit a bill to declare the Quran a terrorist training manual, and then we will offer all Muslims a choice: leave Islam or leave Australia. Right. Now, what else has been going on in the world? Well, actually, let me get back to the people who have been calling me all sorts of names on Facebook. They made a very serious mistake. They invited an American pedophile, a real pedophile, into their secret groups to join them. And, of course, he was feeding them all sorts of lies about me. This is a man who was arrested in Florida in the 80s, I believe, or the 90s. He was arrested and convicted, and I believe 2 years jail, for cocaine peddling, for cocaine possession, for fraud and for, copying official documents. This is not a man who treads along the law. His name is Ross Keith Summers. And he has been the subject of an intense international search and investigation for the last 10 years. And I unfortunately got involved in this search and investigation because while he had a website in Thailand, he started attacking me. And as a result, I was contacted by the team that is investigating him and asked to provide information that would help them to track him down. Eventually, one of the team took him to court twice. He was convicted under the Computer Crimes Act of Thailand, and that carries a minimum sentence of 5 years. But this man is such a slippery, slimy eel that he ran away from Thailand and went to China before the police could put him in jail. So when he got up there, he opened up a new website and started attacking me. I was actually his first victim. And then he started attacking other people. So the team started trying to find him in China, and they had just about found out where he lived and were going to swoop in on him. They were talking to the police when someone did another runner. And we believe he is now in the Philippines, where the Philippine government is getting very interested in him, thanks to the efforts of that team that's tracking him down. Hopefully, this pedophile will be arrested and sent to Thailand to justice and eventually serve out a very long jail sentence. So what has Summers been doing to warrant all this attention? Well, apart from setting up a website to attack people he didn't even know, he was caught one time in, I believe, in Pattaya, trying to chat up a 12-year-old street girl who goes around the bars at night selling chewing gum and things like that. Luckily, some of the bar patrons saw what he was doing and they helped get away from him. And I have recently had a report in that Summers was caught in bed with a 12-year-old girl in the Philippines. Now, he's claiming that this is not a crime because in the Philippines, the minimum age is 12 years old. But he is forgetting one very important fact. He is an American citizen, and therefore he comes under U.S. law no matter where he goes in the world. It's the same as Australian pedophiles. If they go overseas somewhere and they are caught being pedophiles, they can be brought back to Australia and charged under Australian law. We are hoping that this Russell Keith Summers will also face justice once he's served his time in Thailand. He will then be deported back to the USA, where he will face court over there as well for pedophilia. I have had a very interesting time, shall we say, as the Chinese say. But the fact is, I don't mind all this fighting and the people trying to attack me, because it does show that I'm having an effect, that I am making a difference, that I am putting these people on notice that they can't get away with their crimes. So to anybody out there who believes they get away with attacking me online or even in person, you better think twice. Now, our old friend Mighty Mo is back, and he's got a few things to say. A very interesting one this week. So let's go on over to see what Mighty Mo is up to these days.
Mighty Mo!
While Mighty Mo continues to dream that he is the perfect man, his young bride, Aisha, has a few things to say. I went behind the scenes, so to speak, to speak to her this week. This is what she told me. Aisha, hello, how are you? You are one of Mighty Mo's favorite wives. Can you tell me how you met?
Met? You mean met like for a date?
Yes.
Oh, we never went out on a date. Unless you count the dates he brought me soon after we became engaged. I was only 6 at the time. I remember our engagement party very well.
Can you tell us about it?
Oh, yes. I remember it like it was only yesterday.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, only 4 years ago.
Yes, that's right. Mighty Mo came to my parents' house. I was playing inside with my dolls when he came and told Mum and Dad he wanted to marry me.
I am Mighty Mo.
Oh, yes, Mighty Mo, we have heard about you, haven't we, Cannibal Sativa? Oh, yes, my dear husband. Oh, we are blessed that Mighty Mo lusts after our, wants to marry our daughter, Aisha.
Silence, woman. How dare you speak in front of me? Go cover yourself up.
And that, listeners, is how the burqa came about. But getting back to the betrothal.
Bud Baker, I have come to marry your daughter.
Honored, oh Mighty Mo, but she has not yet finished playing with dolls. Surely you can wait until she has enjoyed her childhood a little longer.
Very well. I am not unreasonable. Aisha, with her beautiful camel's eyes, her hair like falling strands of night, and her winsome smile, are all I dream about every night. Let me think. Okay. I have decided I will wait until she is old enough to appreciate my sexual prowess before I marry her. Meanwhile, you will take this bag of silver and keep her virtuous for me.
Oh, Mighty Mo, you are generous to a fault. We shall indeed keep Aisha pure for you.
And so the deal was done, dear listeners. But all did not go according to plan. Aisha must have picked up some nasty bug when Mighty Mo kissed her goodbye, and she became very ill. All her hair fell out, Aisha's parents, a butt baker and cannibal sativa baker, took her to Medina, where Mighty Mo called on Allah to help cure her.
Oh, great and illustrious Allah. May I call you Big Al?
Yes, my son.
Big Al, my sweet wife-to-be has lost all her hair. Please, oh Big Al, will you cure her for me?
What will you give me in return?
Let me think. I know. If I send you millions of young men to adore you in heaven, would that do?
Oh, lots of handsome men. Yes, that would be satisfactory. I will cure Aisha. But tell me, how will you send many young men to adore me in heaven?
Well, that's easy, Big L. I'll tell all my, our followers that when they go on jihad and we are victorious, they will get the spoils of war. You know, sex slaves, booty, gold, jewels, and so on. But if they die, they get to go to heaven, where you will reward them with 72 virgins.
That is brilliant, Mighty Mo. I'm so pleased I chose you to start my new religion. Go for it, my loyal and brave minion. Ah, what a devious, cunning plan Mighty Mo has cooked up. He motivates his men with a vision of great riches here on earth, but if they get killed, they can fulfill all their sexual dreams forever. A real win-win, however you look at it. But what will Mighty Mo do next week? Surely you haven't forgotten Foster Foskin, have you? No, he's still hanging around in Mo's tent. But we'll have to wait until next time to find out what happens to him. So tune in for more adventures of
Mighty Mo!
Well, poor old Mighty Mo is having trouble getting married to his little six-year-old girlfriend. But as we all know now, he did, and he consummated the marriage when she was just 9. And that, of course, is why many Muslims now are pedophiles. We have a real problem with Islam, and it's not going to go away unless we get Islam politically. The only way we can do that is to elect people who are willing to take hard steps that need to be done, taken, to change the status of Islam. Restore Australia is offering to submit a bill. If we can get somebody elected to Parliament, we will submit a bill to change the status of the Quran to a terrorist training manual, because that's what it is. Basically, there are over 109 verses in the Quran, more than 65% of it, that tell Muslims to go out and kill infidels. You and me, we are infidels, and we can be killed if we do not convert to Islam. So we need political will to face down Islam and get rid of it. And Restore Australia is saying, once we declare the Quran a terrorist training manual, the next step is simple. We round up all the Muslims and tell them, you cannot practice your religion here in Australia because you cannot use the Quran. Therefore, you have a choice. Leave Islam and stay here and become Australian citizens and obey our laws, or leave Australia. You can't do it any other way. I've lived in Islamic countries. I've seen how they behave. I've seen the terrorist attacks in southern Thailand. I've seen the dead bodies. I've had Islamic friends. And at the end of the day, we just cannot trust one of them. And believe me, I know. So we have to have people in Parliament who are willing to take the hard steps. And Restore Australia will do that. So please support the party, the Australian Restore Australia Party. And if you can't, then donate money. We may not be able to feed all the candidate section because it's come upon us very quickly, and we haven't been able to form the party. But that doesn't matter, because Restore Australia will continue. We will continue forming the party, we will continue recruiting new members, and we will continue building up the party. And by the time the next election comes around, we will be ready. And we will be ready to field candidates right around Australia. So just because we can't get into Parliament this time, don't give up. However, we do have one candidate who is willing to go into the lion's den. And he is going to stand, if he can, in the electorate against Malcolm. So this might be a very interesting election. And if we can get this candidate elected, he will submit a bill to declare the Quran a terrorist training manual, and he will also submit a bill that we have already written called the Citizens Initiated Referendums Bill. We intend to put the power into the hands of all voters to start a referendum. At the moment, we can vote in a referendum, but we can't start one. So it's time that we, the Australian people, have this power. It's time that we tell our politicians how we want them to behave. It's time that we make the politicians directly accountable to we, the people, so that we can then bring about a healthier, happier, and wealthier nation. Right now, the political parties in thrall to the United Nations and the international banking cartel are destroying our manufacturing, our farming. Our country does not have the capability of even defending itself anymore. We have Muslims in our ADF. And our ADF doesn't have as many armed people ready to defend our nation as the Muslims have armed security guards. With over 80,000 armed Islamic security guards in Australia, under the control of the Grand Mufti, our nation is in grave danger. And what do you want to have to defend it? Nothing. Little Johnny Howard took away our guns. He made it impossible for us to defend ourselves against our government and against any attackers. This has got to change. So another policy that Restore Australia will bring about is to bring in Citizens Defence Force. In other words, every able-bodied Australian will be required to go into the army and give service to our nation, or to give civilian service if they don't want to go into the military. What does this mean? Well, part of the bill that we would submit is that all equipment must be Australian manufactured within a certain time period. We're saying 5 years. It may be less, it may be more, depending on the industry that's going to supply the equipment. For instance, somebody making shoelaces for boots could do it, you know, could change over their manufacturing or even start up a manufacturing operation within a month. Somebody making jet airplanes, well, we might have to wait a little bit longer. But we used to make everything in the 50s and 60s. We used to make washing machines. We made jet aircraft. We manufactured our own arms. We manufactured Hill's hoists. Everything. We made everything for our country. We controlled our economy. And we were always in the black. And then along came Gough Whitlam. And that destroyed our nation. It's got to change. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, if we don't vote for the Libs, we'll get Labor. Well, don't vote for any of them. Vote for somebody who wants to do some good for our nation, who wants to represent we, the people. You know, if a nation is to survive, there's a trick to it. We need to keep on breathing. And if we don't keep on breathing, if we don't keep on fighting for our freedom, then what the hell use is Australia? Time for us as Australians to stand up to these political dictators and tell enough is enough. At the next election, please do not give a vote to any major party, the Liberals, the Nats, the Labor or Greens. Keep your vote away from them. And the only good thing that Turnbull has done is he's changed the way that we vote. So we can keep our vote away from them. Let's vote for minor parties. Let's vote for independents who are willing to stand up for Australia, who want to work and serve we the people. And as I said before, our trick now is to keep on breathing. Now, this is a song. The trick is to keep breathing. Garbage, playing just to keep breathing, and this is the Gotcha Radio Show with your host Mike Holt, and we're still talking about what's going on in Australia and around the world, and I'm very, very pleased to see a couple of news reports on my Facebook page this morning that I posted. The people in Europe are starting to wake up, and they are fighting back against the Islamic invasion. It's a pity that we actually have to do this. Our governments have betrayed us. Our governments have let us down. And in Belgium, in France, in Germany, people are out on the streets. In Italy, the people are out there. We are fighting back. And this is what we will do here in Australia too. We will be forced eventually to get out on the streets and fight back. And when we do, if we are forced to, I don't think it will be a very pretty sight. And who do we blame? The politicians. Both sides of the political divide, the ALP and the LNP, are all complicit in allowing this to develop and occur. Our Australian government is even trying to interfere in the affairs now of other places. Norfolk Island is under attack by the Australian government, trying to take over and dictate to them how they should run their country. So you'll be hearing more about that from Restore Australia. We are fighting back there as well. We are going to be helping the people from Norfolk to retain their freedom. Unfortunately, the Australian government has already taken it away, but it has taken away can be regained, and we will help Norfolk Island. Here's a little trick for you. You know, when you're walking down the street and you see one of those black-clad horrors, those women in burkas with just a slit for eyes, I feel sorry for those poor women. So whenever I walk past them, I give them a Christian benediction. You've seen the Pope do this. He raises his hand just in front of his forehead, brings it down to just about his belly button, then up to the shoulder, left shoulder, and across to the right shoulder. That is the sign of the cross. Why don't you show these poor women in their burkas? They're probably sweating and horribly uncomfortable under there. Give them a Christian blessing. They deserve it, don't they? My friends, to bring this show to a close, but I do want to mention a couple of other people. I've been very, very pleased to see that Nick Folkes has been out there, Party for Freedom, confronting the halal scammers. Nick, special commendation to you, my friend. You're doing a great job, and I'm looking forward to speaking to you again very shortly on the phone. I had a lovely talk on the phone last night with Kim Vuga. Wow, what a lady she is. She is doing a fantastic job. And what a fighter. I mean, I've never seen anybody fight like that in my life. She's just doing a terrific job. So, Kim, thank you very much. And I do hope that you and some of your candidates get elected. Australia deserves you. And you fight. Bernard Gaynor from the Australian Liberty Alliance has also been putting up a great fight, and I thank him. He's going after the pedophiles, and we need to have more people like him fighting there. Who else? I can't think of anybody else at the moment, but believe me, everybody out there who is fighting for the cause to protect our nation from Islamization, to protect our nation from the three-party dictatorship. And I hope, and I know, that we will be successful. We will win this fight, and eventually, we will make Australia healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until then, my friends, thank you very much for listening to the Gotcha Radio Show. I look forward to speaking with you again next week. Thank you.
This is the Gotcha Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt, signing off until next week. And Australia, beware. Islam is here. Islam intends to take over. Don't let them.
Dad and Denny saw the passing out parade at Puckapunyal. It was a long march from cadets. The 6th Battalion was the next to tour, and it was me who drew the card. We did Canungra and Shoalwater before we left. And Townsville lined the footpaths as we marched down to the quay. This clipping from the paper shows us a young and strong and clean. And there's me in me slouch hat with me SLR and greens. God help me. I was only 19. From Buntow riding Chinooks to
into the dust at Nui Dat. I'd been in and out of jobbers now for months. We made our tents a home, VB and pin-ups on the lockers, and an Asian orange sunset through the scrub. And can you tell me, doctor, why I still can't get to sleep? The night time's just a jungle dark and a fucking M16. And what's this rash that comes and goes? Can you tell me what it means? God help me. I was only 19. A 4-week operation, when each step could mean your last one on two legs. It was a war within yourself, but you wouldn't let your mates down till they had you dusted off. So you closed your eyes and thought about something else. And then someone yelled out, contact! And the bloke behind me swore. We looked in there for hours, then a god almighty roar. And Frankie kicked the mine the day that mankind kicked the moon. God help me. He was going home in June. Drinking tinnies in the Grand Hotel on a 36-hour wreck leaving Bungtow. And I can still hear Frankie lying screaming in the jungle till the morphine came and killed the bloody row. And the Anzac legends didn't mention mud and blood and tears. And the stories that my father told me never seemed quite real. I caught some pieces in my back that I didn't even feel. God help me. I was only 19. And can you tell me, doctor, why I still can't get to sleep? And why the Channel 7 chopper chills me to my feet? And what's this rash that comes and goes? Can you tell me what it means? God help me. I was only 19.